Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Sean Broderick. He is an analyst over at Weiss Ratings. Now, Sean, you and I talk about a wide range of sectors. I feel like I say that every time I bring you on, but today is going to be another day where it sounds like we jump around from sector to sector. Chatting with you off mic, you were sharing some of your biggest gainers, at least today, with me, and they're spread across a number of the same sectors that we have been continuing to talk about. Let's get into just a broad overview on those sectors. What are you seeing, Sean? What continues to stand out and outperform in your subscribers' portfolios?
Well, uranium is one. I mean, it's just looking pretty good right now. And there's a bunch of reasons for that, and I'll explain that before I go on to the other sectors. One is that the COVID-19 pandemic shut down some mines. It took like 30% of production offline last year. Now, that will come back, but what that showed the market is what happens when supply gets squeezed, and we know that over the next few years, some uranium mines are going to shut down anyway, just because they're running out of stuff. They'll either have to find more or else they'll have to open new mines. You know how long that takes. So that's important. At the same time, they're building all these nuclear power plants. Demand's going to go up. So uranium is looking very good. Uranium miners, and especially because the U.S. government is throwing money at the sector, that's looking good too. Cannabis continues to look good. We had a big scare. We had a big sell-off last week. We took a bunch of gains in our portfolios as well. I'm glad we didn't take most of them, because most of them are rocking and back in my own portfolio. They're up. It's like one after another after another. All these cannabis stocks are up, up, up. EV makers, you know, in China and elsewhere, they are doing extraordinarily well. We're seeing more and more leading car manufacturers that are known for internal combustion engines announcing deals with these small companies to just shift everything over there. And I'll give you that reason too before I go on. The reason is China. Just as in the U.S., California gets to set all the rules and regulations because it's the biggest car market. Globally speaking, China is the biggest car market. And so they're planning a big transition to what they call new energy vehicles, that is, pure electric vehicles and also hybrids. And that's on the books. They know what they're doing. And so now all the car manufacturers around the world are rushing to meet that. They want to be part of that. They want to sell into that market. And so that's just having a domino effect. And so electric vehicles are definitely heading higher. Rare earth elements, there was a story in the Financial Times about how China is looking to restrict its exports of rare earths to the U.S. Now, maybe it's some kind of power play, or else maybe it's the fact that they really want to manufacture all the high tech for all the world, right? So for whatever reason, they're looking at restricting that. That's great for the small rare earth stocks in our portfolios, and in yours too, probably. But I don't think we've bought enough of them, because you can bet the U.S. military will freak out about this. There's 417 kilograms of rare earth in every F-35 fighter plane. All our high tech uses rare earths, not 417 kilograms, but uses some in one way or another. And so this just lights a fire under that industry. You're going to see that go higher. And I have some gold miners that are up, some that are down. And I got oil and gas. That's looking good. Copper, nickel, I mean, which are, again, energy vehicles. They're used in the new EVs, either in the EVs themselves or in the batteries. So it's quite bullish, I think. I think what the world is looking at is it's looking at renewed economic growth in China, probably anticipating another leg higher in that. It's looking at the falling infection rates and hospitalization rates in the U.S. from COVID. Those are going down. That doesn't mean they have to keep going down, but that's what's happening right now. And so that means we should follow along in economic growth. Globally, it looks like we're in a good growth space. So I think, you know, this is quite bullish for commodities generally, but those things I mentioned seem to be doing very, very well.
Yeah, especially these EV metals, battery metals, including rare earth elements and some of the base metals that get tied in there. Those have been on quite a run. Some of the stocks, I think you can argue, are still a little bit lagging, especially when it comes to copper. But some of the, let's say, lithium stocks, those have taken off. Some rare earth element stocks, those have also taken off. When do you start to get worried that the sector might be getting a little bit overheated, understanding that the share prices move much quicker than the broad economy and the broad development of these type of materials and industries are?
Well, I worry about that every night when I go to sleep. That's my problem. But on the other hand, I mean, when is it too late to buy? In one of our portfolios, Gold and Silver Trader, we added BHP, the big mega miner, last week, you know, just a week ago. And today it announced that it was raising its dividend and that stock is up something like 8%. This is, as you and I talk, maybe completely different when people actually hear this this interview. That's a huge move for big miner. But what's it make besides coal, which is well known for? It makes many of the metals, or mines many of the metals, that go into electric vehicles and batteries. So it's catching a little bit of that juice as well. I think that these things have a long way to go because Wall Street's just waking up to this. Now, perhaps we'll see money rush out of this and into Bitcoin, you know, which is on its own there, or else maybe we'll see something else become the flavor of the month. Tech seems to be kind of cooling off for a bit. Maybe it'll lead back up. Banks are looking hot right now. Maybe they'll get hotter. In an expanding economy, you'd expect banks to do well. But I mean, really, I think it's a generally optimistic view for growth. And as long as people stay optimistic about that, we're probably going to see more money flow into this area, especially because we created, I don't know how many day traders, when they shut down sports and everybody opened up Robinhood accounts, right? So now they're all chasing these things. But I mean, this is where people can see economic growth. They can see this happening right here and they want a piece of it. So I don't think we're at the end of it. We'll certainly have dips. We'll certainly have pullbacks. You shouldn't be chasing anything, right? But this looks like a pretty strong trend right here.
So does that correlate to your outlook for the broad averages as well, which means that we could just maybe keep on trending higher and this continued, I guess, ignoring of these safer assets because of the fact that, I guess, everyone's getting excited that we might get back to some semblance of normal soon?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if I'd go for the broad averages, though you might say that the underperformance we've seen in them so far might mean they are going to start to outperform. But I just saw some statistics this morning about how well small caps are outperforming the S&P 500, and it is phenomenal. I mean, the growth in small caps, because people know those stocks do really well in an economic recovery. So money's been pouring in there. Now, is too much poured in? Is maybe money going to rotate back to the big cap tech, for example? I don't know. But I do know that people are anticipating more growth. So you could buy the S&P 500 and sleep soundly at night. There's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, if you're buying, say, a marijuana stock index or a rare earths index or a battery metals index or one of those things, the potential for upside is really extraordinary.
Now, how about the uranium sector? You keep on outlining just how well uranium stocks are doing, and the number of uranium stocks are going through another pop today, but we just haven't seen that move in the underlying uranium price. And eventually, don't we need to see that move so that finally some of these uranium miners can start making money, and it does actually benefit some of these miners to build tons and actually grow their resources either through acquisition or exploration?
You're absolutely right. I was just looking at a chart of uranium on Bloomberg this morning, and the price has only gone down in February. It's now testing support at $30 again. So what are we seeing, right? And it has to change at some point. Now, this is the problem you and I have discussed, which is that periodically we hear intense bullishness in the uranium sector, and it never follows through, right? You and I have discussed that. It's horrible because, you know, we really get excited about the story and nothing happens. At some point, all these huge long-term forces and the shorter-term forces, which I went over a bit just earlier, they have to come together. And so what the market is telling us is that's going to be soon. I don't think it's too late to get into these stocks, because on the big scale of things, they haven't moved that much. And when you consider how much money in Wall Street used to be in uranium and isn't there now, you know, it could be a big rotation into it. Now, that said, you know, it could rotate into Bitcoin instead. It could rotate into whatever the flavor of the week is. But if you like to play the long-term trends, and I do, and I guide my subscribers to doing that, there is a great case for a long-term fundamental bull market starting in uranium now. Just cyclically speaking, we should be having one.
Okay. Well, in all fairness, the stocks are telling us that, as you outlined, but man, oh man, that price still is not going anywhere. It's actually in a downtrend over the last almost year now. Let's take a step back then. When we're looking at uranium or battery metals, EV makers, rare earth elements, all these kind of seasonal, in a sense, plays. Not seasonal in terms of year over year, but seasonal in terms of once attention comes in, they can really start running, but sometimes they aren't the longest lasting bull markets. What type of stocks are you looking at? I've had other guests come on and say, with some of these new sectors like lithium, you should really just focus on the bigger miners. They give you at least a little bit of downside protection, because quite frankly, a lot of these juniors, they very well might go close to zero and then completely switch industries. Where do you like to focus?
Right. That's a great question. As I said, we just put people in BHP last week, so I'd be a liar if I didn't say I was playing the bigger miners. It's just for the outsized gains, you want at least some of the smaller companies in there. And the problem you just described is a problem we have in gold and silver all the time, right? It is a seasonal metal. And we're in what should be a slow season now, because we just had the Chinese New Year and all that stuff. And so, you know, gold can snooze for a while before picking up again later in the year. I don't know what the season is for lithium. I do know that that with every news story that we have coming out about some big car maker around the world making a big shift in its whole operating system to make more of these cars, you know, that is a bullish thing. That really is. And so lithium is quite common in the Earth's crust. People shouldn't think there's a real shortage of it, but it all comes down to what can you mine profitably. And prices are still cheap enough that you aren't seeing every Tom, Dick, and Harry start a lithium mine. Prices are cheap. So things have to get a lot more expensive before I'm going to worry about things overheating in this industry.
Okay, so you still see some upside here. In all fairness, these markets, they are still hanging up here. And hey, there are these sectors that just continue to keep on outperforming. And then money does seem to rotate into some of these other sectors. Final comments regarding cannabis. Look, cannabis stocks have been doing really well, and the focus really does seem to be on the U.S. cannabis sector. Do you have a general time frame of when the U.S. might go through the full legalization issue or situation on a federal level? I'm asking this because if you time it with what happened in Canada, that marked at least a short-term top for some of these stocks.
Yeah, well, I'll have to put on my Huggy Bear pimp hat right now and just tell you the word on the street. And the word on the street is we're going to see banking legalization this year and then full legalization next year. So that's what they're saying in Washington can happen. So not full legalization this year, full legalization next year, but we'll see banking legalization this year. So that'll be a big thing. Will that be a peak? It may well be, because I think there's a lot of buying into that, which could be really anticipating thing. We have seen the cannabis market peak, and I'm really talking about Canada here because that was the big market before, but sometimes it peaks in March. So if you were looking for a short-term peak, I would look next month. Maybe. Then again, maybe banking legalization changes the entire game and things keep running. It's really, really hard to say exactly. I do know that the stocks we have, and we have a bunch of, they're doing extraordinarily well. I mean, I could take all these gains now and I'd make my year. I don't want to take them because I think people will be missing out for at least some time because they go up by tremendous amounts every single day. And let's not write off Canada. Village Farms is a Canadian stock, is up 12.5% on the day as you and I talk right here. So there's still plenty of life up in Canada. It's a much smaller market than the U.S., but there is still plenty of potential up there. The important question people should ask themselves about Canadian stocks is when marijuana is legal in the U.S., will they allow imports and exports across the U.S.-Canadian border? Will they allow imports and exports from Colombia? These are things we have to wrestle with. I don't think that's coming as quickly as people might think, because the cannabis lobby in each country will be lobbying hard against that. They don't want to deal with cheap imports from Colombia. You know, so I think people who are buying stocks and on anticipation of, say, international legalization, they might be getting ahead of themselves on that. But I do think that the U.S. has a great growth story ahead of it for the next couple of years.
Very interesting there, Sean, and good comments regarding the whole international legalization and any sort of shipping or distribution that could happen there. I'm with you that I think they are going to try to really restrict any of that international distribution. And quite frankly, look, it seems like each country can satisfy their own demand domestically, so that could put a further hold on any sort of international shipments. Sean, great chatting with you. As always, buddy, I'll chat with you in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Hey, thanks. You too.